Welcome to Off-Road Spirituality, where we navigate and embrace the beauty in the chaos of the spiritual growth journey.
Okay, everyone, grab your keys. We're taking this off-road.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Off-Road Spirituality. We are so happy to have you back this week.
Thank you all so much for being here. Every week, as you know, I get really excited when I see how many countries we are currently broadcasting in. And this week, we are up to 23 countries, and we are so excited and so freaking grateful.
All right. So what are we talking about today, Loria?
Counting the cost.
Counting the cost. Multiple, many, many weeks ago, you shared some things that you were going through in life. And I know I have the honor of talking to you almost daily on good days, multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. So I know how you are, but not everybody listening knows how you are. So Do you mind sharing how you're doing?
Yeah, thank you. The reason I wanted to do this episode, Lisa has been asking me to bring the audience up to date because I shared something very difficult, very personal, very vulnerable back in April. And I said, okay, great, I can do that. And I want to talk about the concept of counting the cost. It's a biblical concept at its origin, and it's based on if you are going to do something, if you are going to make a choice, make a decision, you know, take an action in your life, it's wise to count the cost before you do so. And as I shared with our audience, you know, I was going through an extremely difficult time in my life for the last several months. You know, this happens. It happens to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people don't talk about it. So They suffer in silence. Yeah. And I keep thinking, I haven't said this to anyone, I don't think, maybe you, but I keep thinking, man, I really took one for the team because I know so many people now and in the last year or two, like people very close to me who've been going through some very difficult times and not talking about it publicly. Most people don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you asked me to do this podcast, I said two things. I need to be able to be me. You and I are so different. We're alike in many ways, and we're very, very different people. I'm all the way out there. You know, I'm the outie. You're more the innie, right? Like, I just have to be real. I have to be me. I have to be myself. I have to be authentic. And the other thing I said was, we have to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be as real as possible, as raw and vulnerable and honest with our audience, or people aren't going to trust us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I spent a couple of nights thinking, I just realized I felt like the divine put it on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell people, you have to share what's going on with you. And the thought of it just honestly made me want to vomit. It still does. And I did it already, two and a half months ago. So I felt like, okay, I'm going to be a hypocrite and a liar and a fraud if I do not talk about what's going on with me, because we made that promise to our listeners from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew we were going to be called out on it immediately? And I remember calling you late at night and saying, I don't know what to do, but this is on my heart. And you were like, oh my gosh, are you sure you want to do that? No, of course I'm not sure I want to do that. That is the last freaking thing I want to do. And yet I did it.
Yeah.
And it was hard and it was scary. And then I made a decision, which was even harder, to go on social media, and we recorded a post basically saying, this is what our episode is about, and here's the real me. And, you know, our number one goal, we made two promises to our audience, and our number one goal is we just want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of what I felt like, I have to put this out there, because mm-hmm. I know other people are struggling like I was at the time. And I lost followers on social media, several people I know. And I remember at the time talking to my therapist about it. And remember what we say, energy healers go to therapy too.
That's right.
We both talked about that openly, and we both have phenomenal therapists. But I told my therapist about it, and I was really upset. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I did the right thing. And she goes, well, Loria, that says more about them than it does about you. And it has taken me 3 months to really wrap my head around that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that is difficult, and you know, I've talked about this openly too, I do not like social media. I am not comfortable with social media. It freaks me out. It scares me. It's too exposed. I don't love it. And yet, you know, we've made the choice to put ourselves out there to, you know, make sure people know about our show and what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And you can see when people watch your stories, for example, on Instagram, and I don't even know how many dozens of people watched that story, and there was zero engagement. Mm-hmm. And so very few people said anything or even responded, which is fine. But for me, for someone like me, who's so afraid of social media, like I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
Because I can see how it affects the mental health of young people now that I'm engaging in it.
Yeah.
You know, I was in practice for, I don't know, 10 or 11 years before I ever went on social media. So it's been hard. I think about what I put out there every single day. Here's what I want to say about that. I am still struggling with my decision to say, hey, I am really struggling emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and I'm having a crisis of faith. The crisis of faith has been the most frightening for me. It scares me mm-hmm. because I'll rely on my faith. You know, right. It brings great comfort to me. And yet, I was reading during this time the autobiography of this woman, Alyssa DeFord, better known as Bunny XO. Now married to Jelly Roll. And now they're getting a divorce. But anyway, I love her. I've known who she was from the beginning. And the reason I like her so much, just like I like everyone else who does this, she's real. She tells the truth. She's mm-hmm. not, she doesn't live in shame.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Abby Wambach, same mm-hmm. thing. Glennon Doyle, same thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Brandi Carlile. I could go down the list. These are people who just tell the truth yeah. about who they are. And when I heard that Alyssa DeFord, Bunny XO, was writing a book, I was like, sign me up. I'm reading that book. Mm-hmm. And I got it immediately. And I saw a post that she did. So I want you to think, I want everyone to think about this. This woman came from pretty shitty childhood, you know, traumatic upbringing, dysfunction, you know, addiction, etc., right? And abusive relationships, all the things. And then she became a call girl, a prostitute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now she's clean and she got married. And in her words, she and her husband Jason DeFore, Jelly Roll, the country music singer, if people don't know who he is, they built a literal empire together. She has an exceptionally popular podcast. People just love this woman. Her book went to number one in the world. Number one in the world. And I cried when I heard that because I just felt like, good for her. Good for her. My feeling is it's because she tells the truth. She is so real. She hides nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't seem to have any shame. Well, I could learn from her, right? Mm-hmm.
Because many of us could, yeah.
We could, right? Because, you know, I learned to live in shame. I was conditioned to do that. So anyway, it's interesting because I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about her a lot. At the same time, I've been thinking about how I'm still questioning the wisdom of sharing what I did in a public manner.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So I know you shared that you posted this on social media. You didn't get engagement. You know, people close to you watched it, said and did nothing.
Which is fine.
Oh, it's fine. Right. But I'm curious. Did you also find that any of your real life, non-social media relationships were affected by what you shared on the podcast?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. Because, and to be fair, let me say, this is also such a lesson for us, right? The amount of support I got, both on and offline, was tremendous, truly. There were a lot of people online on social media who commented and whatever. I don't even know what the terms are, but whatever, you know, said things or whatever, pressed the right buttons, which meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And then offline, I got a lot of calls and I got a lot of text messages of support. And yet, as humans, what do we focus on?
The negative.
The negative, right? Because I went into being insecure, right? And subconscious and probably some shame. I'm going to say I probably have had some shame around this too. And I do not believe for a moment that it was an accident or a coincidence that this happened for me in my life when it did.
Yeah. There are no coincidences, as you say.
I say that practically every week. Yeah. So my point is not about social media. My point is about shame, self-doubt, self-consciousness, right? And being called out. Basically, the universe called my dare. They dared me. They called my bluff, right? Because I was the one like, we have to be real. We have to tell the truth. We have to be authentic. And I knew I had to do it. And I didn't want to do it. And to this day, as you know, every single day I think about it. And every single day I question my decision. And every single day I think about this ex-prostitute, addict, fill in the blank, who I literally wish I knew in real life because I just adore her and I have so much respect for her. And she's married to an ex-felon. She has a record too, actually. I think she's an ex-felon too. And is her husband. And he was a dealer and an addict, blah, blah, blah. And yet, I have learned so much from her. And yet, for me, I go, oh, yeah, I'm not worthy. Right?
Yeah.
So
well, that
was
the conditioning running in the background of you and myself at times and so many people. I feel like this is a very universal experience of being human, of having that unconscious script running in the background. I'm not lovable. I'm not I'm not loved. I'm not worthy. I have to be a certain way or a certain thing in order to be loved.
Right.
What I produce and how I behave, those determine who loves me and how much. Right.
Yeah.
When in reality, which we know on a cognitive level is not the truth. Right. Right. That we are made in God, universe, source, vision.
Image.
We are pure love consciousness just because we exist.
Yeah.
And so where's the disconnect come from?
Conditioning.
The human experience, right?
The human experience, yeah. And what we bring with us to each lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what is healed, cleared, and released in each lifetime if we're willing to do the work and deal with our own stuff and look at it. The other purpose of this was you wanted to ask me how, you wanted me to address, like, how am I doing now? Thank you for caring and thank you for asking. I think, you know, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, right? I'm working with you. I'm working with other practitioners. I'm in therapy. I'm surrounding myself with my closest, most loving, supportive friends, right? It's not like I'm going through life with a paper bag over my head, but I don't talk about it. Like, unless people have seen it, the people around me don't really know. Because it's not like I've been talking about it much. So I'm doing all the right things, getting all the right support. And I'm doing better now than I was in the winter and spring. However, a lot of those reasons are external, right? So I have this, you know, it's sunny finally where I live and it's not snowing. It's, you know, hot. I spend a lot of time in California, you know, with my kids and my mom and my friends. And, you know, I just have a lot going on in my life right now, a lot of positive things that have helped bring me out of it. But, I have been very careful to stay super checked in because external activities and busyness and projects and, you know, social whatever. We talked about this in our spiritual bypassing episode, right? I've been very careful to stay super checked in to how I'm doing on a mental, emotional, and spiritual basis. So, yeah, I'm just paying attention to how I'm doing, how I'm feeling, what I'm doing for myself, and making sure that all of the external is not a distract. It hasn't become a distraction for me.
Well, it sounds like you're making really intentional decisions about where you're spending your time and what you're putting your energy into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's an intentionality of making sure that you're not just jumping straight into busyness, but also it sounds like you're making the decision to spend time, like you keep referencing the external, right? We don't live in vacuums, right? So even if you feel like maybe your internal hasn't quite improved as much as you'd hope, or you're still not internally feeling the way that you want to feel, that you're still taking steps to make sure that your external world is supportive in some way, shape, or form. Is that right?
I made a very conscious choice. Everything I have done in the last 8 months, 9 months has been for me.
And that's come up in your astrology a lot lately too.
It has come up in my astrology a great deal in the last year. Yeah. That's true. So, so I just want to say thank you. Like, Lisa's been asking me for weeks, can you please give our audience an update? And I just haven't been ready because I felt like, well, I have to be fine to do that. Like,
right.
I'm a healer. That's what I do. I work with other people. I facilitate their healing. And that's not real life. That's not how real life works. And again, I have to go back to, I made a promise. I made a vow. I vowed to our audience, to our listeners, that I would be real and raw and vulnerable and tell the truth. And I mean, honestly, that most honest answer I can give you is it was really fucking hard to do it.
I know it was.
Yeah. And I'm still struggling.
Well, can I ask? So can I ask you a question about it? Because I'm curious. So imagine the situation where you shared what you shared in the podcast. You don't have any indication that any of your personal relationships have been affected by that. You had an outpouring of support from people, you know, both on and offline. Pretend like you didn't post it to your stories and you couldn't see the engagement. How does that change things for you?
I don't know how much it does because people know now. And in April, you know, I got a lot of outpouring, you know, support, but I really haven't talked about it that much since. You know, a few people closest to me check in, like my closest circle checks in, how are you? You know, I mean, you know me so well. You and I talk almost every day, and every day, as soon as we answer the phone, we can tell where the other person, like, oh, are you okay? Are you tired? Are you stressed? What's going on? You know, so that my closest circle, I talk to my closest friends and relationships almost every day. So those people ask me, are always asking me, like, how are you? And I know what they mean when they ask me that.
Yeah. So, do you think you'd carry the same level of shame if you didn't know people saw your story and didn't react or engage?
Yes, I probably would, just because most people don't talk about their stuff. Everyone's lives from the outside, from the external, look picture perfect. Mine has never, my life has never looked like that. In 6 years, it has never looked picture perfect from the outside, which probably has a lot to do with me and the fact that I just, it's very difficult for me to be in facade. I just can't do it. So yeah, I think it would probably be the same because unless you're really, really good at it, it's very hard not to compare, right? So like for me, I go into this crisis that seemed to come out of nowhere.
Right.
Literally, it came out of nowhere. I did not see it coming. And I was completely blindsided and flattened by it. Like no preparation. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's here. It's like the tornado or the hurricane or the tsunami with no warning.
Right.
And I do not believe it. The timing was coincidental.
Right.
I forgot what your question was. And we have to leave this in the recording because remember a year ago when we started recording, I did the same thing. I was like, if I ever do this again, we're keeping it in. So I forgot your question.
My question was, if you didn't know that people saw your story and didn't respond, would you still feel the same level of shame?
Yes, I would, because I've been so disengaged with my relationships in the last year.
So it's the internal dialogue and gremlins on your shoulder. Making you play a comparison to people who you think are living perfect lives because Instagram sucks.
Well, also, you know, it's interesting. Some of the people I'm thinking about who've really gone through like hell in the last 6 months, year, 2 years, people I know really well, they are not in a position where they can broadcast to the world, hey, I'm in the shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm drowning. This is what's going on.
Right.
Right. Because it's situational. My situation, yes, it involves other people, but not, no one else is affected. It's right. me working through internally, like pieces of my life that all of a sudden came rushing to the surface and I never saw it coming.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I have the liberty of being able to talk about it
right.
openly. I can do that.
Right.
Other people in my life, like I can think of so many people in my life, absolutely, even if they wanted to, could not do it. They could not. That's why I said at the beginning, I'm taking one for the team here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But no one knows. Right. All these people mm-hmm. close to me, no one knows what they're going through.
Right.
So I think that for me is a lot of the shame I've been carrying too. And the self-consciousness is I'm the one who made this choice to say, okay, the universe called my bluff.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Here I go.
Yeah. Here I go. Right. Yeah. And I still... Because I have so much respect and admiration for people who tell the truth publicly about, and they're so humble, they're willing to allow their humility and their truth to show at the same time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And to me, holy shit! I mean, that means everything. But then for me to do it, I don't know.
Yeah. Why does it have to be me?
That is the distressing and vulnerable proposition.
Yeah. Well, and you freaking did it. I mean, I've been telling you from the beginning, sharing your story, one, was not a requirement. Two, not a requirement at that time. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to wait until things were a little less acute, that was okay too. And no matter what you chose, it was a brave choice.
And we count the cost, right?
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I put myself out there. Now, everyone who's known me since I was 4 years old knows I'm struggling,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have people close to me who could potentially be impacted just by the fact that I was so, I exposed myself to that extent. I wish I did not know that I had lost followers because of it, because these are people I know personally. That's tough. Yeah. That's hard, you know? It makes me think of Ina, I think it was Ina Garten, I think, the Barefoot Contessa. I think I read this from her 10 years ago. She was doing the Proust questionnaire. And one of the things she said, one of the questions is, what do you value most in your friends? And she said, when they run toward me in times of trouble and turmoil, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it made me think of, right?
Yeah.
The people, you know, when we go through difficult times, we lose people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fact.
Yeah.
It happens.
Not everyone has the capacity to hold space for other people, mm-hmm. especially if they're going through their own stuff.
Right. And so that's what it reminded me of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was shit, man, this, again, I'll say it again, this was really fucking hard. It was a hard decision.
Yeah.
And I'm still struggling with my choice. And I counted the cost before I did it, and I'm still counting the cost after.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted, you know, when you asked me, can you provide an update, you know, to our audience? Yes. And I said, and I want it to be around counting the cost. That can apply to any choice mm-hmm. in your life, right? Count the cost of starting a podcast mm-hmm. that isn't now in your neighborhood. It's in 23 countries across the planet, right? Right? So there's a cost. Every choice we make, there's a cost benefit algorithm formula.
It's interesting because you say count the cost. And so my brain goes right to the negative, right? What are you going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case. There's benefits to decisions as well, right?
Right. That's my point. It could go either way.
Yeah. So it's count the cost. Like, to me, the term count the cost is one-sided. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because also, what's the payoff?
Right? Exactly.
Count the cost. What could be the payoff? But then also, I mean, what do you think about people who are struggling with big life decisions
mm-hmm.
who, you know, that, for example, like, do I leave this relationship? It's a big question. I know so many people the past couple of years mm-hmm. who have exited long-term relationships for various reasons, right? Mm-hmm. That is not a decision that's made lightly. And so, yes, you count the costs. You also have to look at the payoff, but then also, where does the intuition and the knowing and the faith come into play?
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal question, right? Absolutely. So I'll use myself as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just made a decision. I'm blowing up my life, packing up my shit. Yeah. I'm going to go live where the wild horses roam free. There's been a significant cost. Do I regret it? Hell no. No. This is exactly what I wanted to do. Has it been?
Well, hard? It was big on your heart.
It was. I had to go. I didn't have a choice. I had to go. I knew. That's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The intuition. Mm-hmm. The inner knowing. I knew what I had to do.
And that's where the bravery comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But like, your intuition knows one thing. You know there's going to be a significant cost to it, and yet you do it anyway because you know it's your path.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where trusting the self, we talked about
mm-hmm.
that a lot last week, right? Like, mm-hmm. trusting yourself and your intuition and knowing mm-hmm. that even if your path doesn't look the same as everybody else's,
right,
it's still yours to take.
Yeah. But I mean, this plays right into what you're asking, right? If I'm in a, I mean, I have decided that this is a Loria monologue, so I might as well keep going. So for me, I made a choice. It cost me way more money financially than I thought it was going to. Way more money. And I know people here, but not really and not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So has it been lonely and isolating? Of course.
Yeah.
You know, it has not been easy. This has been a tough move, and I have moved at least 35 times in my life. This has been a tough move. It's been the mm-hmm. hardest, one of the hardest things I've done. Was it worth it? Yes. Did the benefits outweigh the cost? By far. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. So for me, that was part of counting the cost.
Yeah.
It was a big decision. I left a lot when I left California.
Yeah.
And I don't, as hard as it's been, who cares? I'm here. This is all I wanted. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been worth it. Does that answer your question?
It does. Yeah, because I think in my own patterning, when I'm faced with a really difficult decision and I don't know which direction to go, I do nothing. And I see it. I have seen it in multiple generations of my family. I know where it comes from. And so that's something that I am actively working on, right? Of like, listen to the intuition, trust yourself. Where is fear leading the way? And so as we talk about counting the costs and making intentional decisions, you know, it's like, yeah, look at all sides of the situation and the intuition, your inner knowing that is, mm-hmm. it's so important to tune into and listen to mm-hmm. and then know that, you know, that whatever operating system is running in the background, whether it's the fear or the shame or the self-doubt, right, that's there and you can still choose differently as opposed to getting so wrapped up in like the what ifs or the mm-hmm. the potential costs.
But I think there's something to be said for both.
Absolutely, yeah.
Strategies, right?
Yeah.
Like for me, I just was like, gotta go, because I knew there was no doubt. I trusted that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, what you're saying is that's not gonna work for everyone, right? It's not about necessarily about being impulsive. It's about your inner knowing and trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to allow your intuition to guide you.
Yeah. It makes me, what you're talking about makes me think about something I read in one of Brené Brown's books. Mm-hmm. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
Dare to lead, as she talks about values, right? And I've done this exercise in countless, you know, courses, think tanks, etc., of like write out your values and make sure that everything that you do is in line with your values. But what Brené offered, which was different than what I had seen before, was pick two. You have to pick two. And, you know, you can start, she has this great list of values in her book, and you can start to highlight or write down the ones that resonate. And then the longer you look at it and massage it, start to notice that things start to fold into one another. I landed on three. And those three, like, try to remember a list of two or three, or try to remember a list of 10 or 15. Right.
Like, yeah.
It's impossible to make decisions when you have a list of 10 values that mm-hmm. you find important. Mm-hmm. As they begin to fold into each other, you have two or three that really you can check your decision making mm-hmm. back to. Right.
Right. Because and every choice you make should align with those three values.
Right. Right. And they've helped me to push me to decisions that and action that might feel uncomfortable in the moment, but they're aligned with mm-hmm. my values. And
where you're trying to go.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And who I'm trying to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
So when you were talking earlier about, you know, you knew that you had to share what you shared on the podcast a couple months ago, and that you were completely scared, and you still think about it every day, but you mm-hmm. still knew you had to do it because you made a mm-hmm. vow. Mm-hmm. Like what I see in you and your values is you, if nothing else, are true to your word.
That is true. I am. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like, yeah, scared, but do it anyway, because it's aligned with who you deeply are. And I think maybe that's the lighthouse that helps guide us when we have hard decisions to make.
Well, and sometimes the right thing to do is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Because, I mean, I think the hard stuff that we go through, not to diminish how hard it is, but they are opportunities to help us grow. You know, like your decision to move was super hard. There are very hard things about it, and yet you knew it was right. And so, rhetorically, what has it brought up in you that mm-hmm. now you get to look at, right?
Yeah, as so many people would say, what's the gift in it? And I'm like, ugh. I'm not ready for that.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about the stupid gifts.
I don't want to talk. I'm not ready. It's too soon.
No, working on it and identifying it are different things, right? Like, oh yeah, I'll look at that later. I'm not resourced for that right now.
Sometimes it's too soon.
Well, Loria, thanks so much for yet again being so vulnerable and brave on this podcast. And thank you for sharing how you're doing, because there's so many people who do care, whether they tell you or not.
I know. And yes, thank you for caring and listening. I did not mean to make this the Loria Tweedy monologue show, and that's kind of where we ended up.
It was lovely hearing the inner workings of your mind, as always.
Which you do on a daily basis. Thank you for listening.
Lucky me. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening this week. We hope you took something from this and it touched your heart in some way. Thanks so much for writing with us.
We are here for all of you. Please go to our website. You can find us there. If any of you are in need, if any of you are struggling, if any of you feel alone or isolated, or you just need help or someone to talk to, literally that is what we do off air. And we are here for it. We're here to support you, and that's where you can find us. So please go to our website. If there's any way we can support you, please let us know. And until then, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you off-road.